Hello, and welcome once again to canonblogger.com. You're listening to episode number 66. In this week's episode, I'm going to be taking a look at the competing interests of quality, quickness, and cost efficiency. I'm also going to be looking at gray market gear, whether or not that is a viable option for us as photographers to consider in a tightening economy. And last but not least, I will also be taking a look at some blog and podcast maintenance subjects, including the current Think Tank Photo Streetwalker contest. This is a contest to win a Streetwalker bag valued at $150 retail. I reviewed this at the beginning of the month, and we're almost done. Find out how you can get your entry in to win this bag. Last but not least, I will also take a look at the listener questions and a photo tip of the week. Thanks for tuning in, and now for the theme music. Starting off this week's episode, I'd like to take a look at the competing interests of quality, quickness, and cost efficiency. And these three competing interests can arise at any given point in time when you're trying to deliver work to a client, and it can really cross multiple number of fields, but of course, here I'm looking at how it applies to photography and artistic expression, because when someone asks for work from you, they're always going to be looking for three different things: good quality work, they also want quickness in work, and they also want things to be cost effective. And the problem is that these three interests are always competing against each other, and even though we're in a tightening economy, you really can't expect to get all three of these things at the same point in time. If you want quality work and you want quickness in work, and that means you're going to be putting a lot of time in, which means the cost is going to go up. Also, by looking at two of the other ones, if you want things to be turned around quickly and you want it to be cost-effective, you might have to sacrifice some quality. Then, of course, last but not least would be including quality and cost efficiency. You would have to sacrifice a quick turnaround time. And this is kind of a perception or a balance, if you will, that is missing a lot of times with customers these days. So I'm kind of putting this segment together with the hopes of getting some dialogue back, hearing what other people have to say on the subject and whether or not my line of thinking here is correct. But it really does seem like these three interests that clients have, quality, quickness, and cost efficiency, really are competing interests. And what I always tell people is I can provide quality work, I can provide quick work, and I can provide cost-effective work, but I cannot provide all three of these elements at the same time. And when I frame things correctly with the client like that, then that lets them know what I can do and what I can't do, and allows them to prioritize what's most important for their particular project, whether it's quality work, a quick turnaround time, or cost-effective work. Because then framing it that way, you can help educate clients to realize that asking for the moon doesn't necessarily mean that they can do that. So there's that little segment there, quality, quickness, and cost efficiency. I'd like to hear from the listeners out there. So if you have thoughts on what your two strongest features are, or if you feel you can provide all three, I'd be more than welcome to feedback on that. So feel free to chime in to the comments on the blog. You can also email me. The address, as always, is jason@canonblogger.com. Coming up after the break, I'm going to be taking a look at gray market gear, whether or not it's a good way to try and save money in a tightening economy. And after that, of course, the blog and podcast maintenance, listener questions, and the photo tip of the week. Stay tuned, and I'll be back right after this. Welcome back. In this segment, I'm going to be looking at gray market merchandise, and the reason why I'm bringing this up is because I saw a good article in Shutterbug magazine from John Sienkiewicz, I think is how you pronounce his name. It was in the February issue, and he looks at the value and possibility of incorporating gray market gear into your gear bag. And to kind of set the stage here, I'd like to kind of clarify what the definition of gray market gear is. John had a pretty good definition in his article, he said gray market goods are products that were manufactured to be sold outside the U.S., but because of pricing inconsistencies, made their way to our shores to compete with merchandise that were localized for our market. And this is kind of an interesting blend of gear, because you'll look at the U.S. authorized manufacturers or U.S. authorized gear, you look at gray market gear, and then you look at black market gear, and there are three competing elements there. The U.S. authorized gear obviously is going to be more expensive, and it will have full U.S. warranties, and it will usually have FCC approval, and you'll have the manuals, and you'll have the documentation, and you'll have the right electrical plugs. In contrast to that is this gray market gear, which most often will not have a manufacturer's warranty, sometimes won't have the English documentation or English versions of software. So with Canon, for example, if you use the Digital Photo Professional software, if you get gray market gear, you might not get an English version of that software. And you can also run into problems if it hasn't obtained FCC approval, or if you don't have the right plugs to charge your batteries with. You may not get technical support, things of that nature. This is all stuff that was covered in his article in Shutterbug magazine for February 2009. And I do want to make one important clarification here, because gray market gear isn't necessarily illegal. You can actually purchase it from reputable vendors like B&H Photo, and you can save money on that. But because of all the downsides that I just mentioned, like the manufacturer's warranty, the existence of one, English language software, FCC approval, right plugs, things of that nature. That's a lot of risk to take on just to minimize your expenses and the cost that you put into your gear when you go and do upgrades. So gray market gear, while it may sound like it has potential to save you money in the short term, over the long haul, it's probably not the best route to take to minimize costs, even though we are in a tightening economy. So I just wanted to put that out there. Gray market merchandise is the title of the article. John Sienkiewicz in Shutterbug magazine for February 2009. It's a good read, really brings things into focus, no pun intended, when it comes to gray market gear and whether or not it's a useful route to take to save money. Coming back after the break, we'll do a look at blog and podcast maintenance, as well as address the current Think Tank photo contest. So you're going to want to come back for that to see how you can win the Streetwalker photo bag valued at $150. We'll be back right after the break. Last but not least, I do have some blog and podcast maintenance to announce. Some people had been reporting some problems picking up the feed. I have done some work over the weekend and got the feed streamlined. Got a lot of podcasts, both video and audio, from last year back up on iTunes. So if you want to go to iTunes and pick those up, that has been cleaned up quite a bit. I've also cleaned up a lot of the tags and optimized that there so you can download the smaller version of the video files, and I've also cleaned up the IDV3 tags for the audio files there. One thing to keep in mind as we move forward, I probably will be posting fewer blog posts throughout the week because I do have a rather busy job right now and not going to be able to produce the kind of content that I had originally intended. But the good news is that the podcast has been pretty much set up with personal media life. I'm getting pretty excited for that. I've seen the graphics that are going to go on their website, and that should be starting up fairly shortly here. We want to get things going in February, so you should see the first of the Canon Blogger podcast series make its way onto Personal Life Media, PLM, coming up sometime this week in all likelihood. So I would encourage you to stop over there so you can check out the new layout and features. We're going to have a couple of sponsors. We're going to have some contests and new interviews coming in. So it's all pretty exciting stuff. Last but not least, I did want to give you an update on the Think Tank photo contest. This is for the Streetwalker bag that I reviewed a couple weeks ago. We have 14 posts from unique visitors over on the blog, and I said I would pick one out of the first 20 to post. So we have 6 more unique posters to get before we can close this contest out, and I can send that bag out to some lucky listener. So if you haven't stopped over to the blog, you're going to want to stop over. Go ahead and make a post, and it has to be a useful post. It can't just be something arcane or something that isn't really all that beneficial or that much of a contribution. You can't just say, nice post. It has to be something informative, something interesting, or some opinion that you'd like to share on a particular post. It doesn't have to be from that point forward. It can be at any point because I get comments dated, and I'll just sort those according to the date received. And from the most recent 20, I'll draw one at random. I'll probably make that a video podcast so we can see who the winner is. And once that gets closed out, I can send out that Streetwalker bag to some lucky listener. Like I said before, that's valued at $150. So if you're looking to upgrade your bag, stop over to the blog, make a post. You could be the lucky listener. Coming up after the break, we'll do our wrap-up of listener questions and the photo tip of the week. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll be right back. Welcome back, and in our final segment today, I'm taking a look at a couple listener questions and our photo tip of the week. Our first question comes to us from Daryl in Atlanta. Daryl writes in asking why he can't get prints to match what he sees on his screen. This is a very common question, actually. I'm also going to refer back to the Shutterbug magazine because there was an article back in the December issue from 2008 that spoke to this issue on a number of printers, and it was a really good article by David Brooks, and David goes over calibrating your monitor for a number of different printer types, but the key there is that you have to calibrate your monitor. If you don't make your computer aware of how your monitor is displaying colors, then your printer will not be able to reproduce what's on your monitor. So the first step in correcting that is to get your monitor calibrated. You can do that by using a colorimeter. Great Tech Macbeth makes one. Spider Pro is another well-known brand name. And you can use either of those to calibrate and get color-accurate results both on your monitor and from your printer. Now, when it comes to brightness, it's usually because your monitor brightness level is set too high. And David actually brings up a good point on this particular subject in his article, referencing the CR2 monitors, where they were much closer to the reflective brightness range of good quality photo prints. But he's saying that because LCD displays are natively much brighter than the CRTs, what we see on the monitor is always going to be brighter than what we see on prints. And to adjust for that, you need to decrease the brightness on your monitor so that it will more closely match the reflective properties of paper rather than those of an LCD display. So thank you to Daryl for writing in to ask that question. Hopefully that will clarify things for you. Make sure you calibrate your monitor and adjust your monitor brightness accordingly. Our other question this week comes in from Stacy in Kentucky, and she's basically asking what the DOF preview button is on Canon cameras. And I'm assuming the DOF preview is also on Nikon and Olympus and Sony and other SLR-type cameras. But basically what that does is that will stop down your aperture. And what happens is when you are looking through your viewfinder inside your SLR, your viewfinder is always going to show you things at the widest possible opening. So with the aperture wide open, it's not going to stop things down for you, so you can't look at the depth of field. You're not going to see it. And if you want to get a preview or a glimpse of what your actual capture is going to look like in terms of depth of field, you can push that preview button over on the left-hand side of your camera body, for Canon anyway, and that will close the aperture down to the setting that you are currently at to show you what your depth of field will look like. So that's what that depth of field preview button does, or that DOF preview button does. Thank you to Stacy for writing in to ask about that. And that leads me into the tip of the week, and the tip is actually to use that DOF preview button. So many of us ignore that, and it's not really positioned in the best possible place, but it really can be a useful tool in setting up your image composition and setting up your aperture and setting up your shutter and your ISO speeds and all of the sundry technical stuff to get the right composition that you're looking for. If you use the DOF preview button, you can see what your end result is going to look like in terms of depth of field. And I would encourage you to use that. It's a great feature. Like I said, most SLRs have it. On the Canon, it's on the lower left side, and you can use your thumb of your left hand, if you're a right-handed shooter, to implement that tool or to engage that tool where it'll stop down your aperture for you. It's really useful, and I wanted to thank both Daryl and Stacy for writing in. I appreciate that. The photo tip for the week and the question and answer section is always open to additional ideas. So if you do have ideas for a tip of the week, or if you have a specific question you would like to have answered on the Canon Blogger podcast series, I would encourage you to contact me. The email address is jason@canonblogger.com, or you can also post questions and ideas in the comments section of the blog. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and we'll see you next week. Bye.